Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
We are wrapping up our series on how to ruin community today, and next week, as we jump into July, crazy it's July, we're going to be taking July and August, and over the course of those 2 months, we are going to kind of flip-flop. We are going to be tackling some of our basic beliefs, outlining some of those some of these foundational pieces of theology and what we believe and how that forms who we are and what we do. And other weeks, we are going to be tackling those hard questions about, okay, why do we believe this stuff? Sometimes that's called apologetics. It's a term we use for giving a reason for what we believe. And so we're going to be kind of flip-flopping. Every other week, it's going to be something different where we're either tackling a basic belief. Let's go through, what do we believe about Jesus? What do we believe about the Trinity? What do we believe about the Bible? And other times it's going to be, okay, so do we really, why do we believe there is a God? And why do we believe these things? And so we're going to be tackling all sorts of different things this summer, and we're really interested, really excited about it. At one point, we're going to be kind of looking at, does Christianity, how is that different from other religions? Does it matter? And we've actually got a new person coming on staff in Truro, and I needed a little bit of research done for that. And so I said, here, you take that one. I've put together some notes. You take it, and you do some deep dive research to really pull out the differences. Apparently, he spent like 10 hours already doing the research for this one portion of the message. So probably pack a lunch for that one. We're going to wrap this up, and we have talked about a number of things already. We talked about how gossip will ruin community. We've talked about how the separation between generations can ruin community. And last week, we talked about what did we talk about last week? Unforgiveness and bitterness will ruin community. Well, today we're going to deal with one of the other pieces that tends to ruin community, and it's very sneaky, and it works its way into all of our lives in one of two ways, and that's conflict. Now, I say one of two ways because typically it will either ruin community by there being conflict, or it will ruin community by there not being conflict. There's the times where you have the fight and you never talk again, and then you have the times when you probably should fight about it, but you don't, and you just go your separate ways. Now, I am the type of person, this is going to be surprising to you guys, I know, but I'm the type of person that is not afraid of conflict. Right? Right? I know you guys are all like, but he's so sweet and kind and gentle and amicable, and he never says the wrong thing, and he gets along with everybody. That's what you're thinking, right? All of you that just agreed with me are the type that are running from conflict. There have been times where I've had the conversation, the argument, and it is just so frustrating for me because I'm there and they're saying words and the words just, they don't make sense. And so I point out to them, like, that, but okay, what you're saying is this. And they're like, no, that's not what I mean. I mean this. And they just repeat the same thing again. And I'm like, no, that those words that you're using, and we spend half an hour or an hour arguing about the words that you're using, trying to figure out what kind of argument they're trying to have, and then we're 2 hours deep into this argument, into this conversation, and we're no further ahead, and they just want to leave the argument, and I want to stay in the argument because I need them to understand that they are using the wrong words and that I'm right. There have been other times where I've had arguments and those are just the last conversations I have with people. I'm so confident that I'm right, so sure that I'm right, that I'll push and I'll push and I'll push. And they need to understand that they're wrong. This is the right way of doing it. I have good reasons for it. And I forget that they matter, not just the subject. And I end up hurting people and pushing them away and making them feel lower class, or I have to point out that they're idiots. And surprisingly, I do that and they end up feeling like an idiot. You guys have had those experiences. You guys have had those experiences where people have had those arguments with you and you have left feeling horrible, and you, some of you in this room, have had that experience where you've had the argument and you've left people feeling horrible about themselves. For some of us, it's comes up in our marriages, or with our kids, or with our parents, co-workers, or boss, all these different scenarios. Some of you have had lots of this kind of conflict in the church. You've had conversations with volunteers, and you like, that's not the song. That's not the song we want to do, and something gets twisted, something turns sideways, and you never see that volunteer again. Other times you have to have this conversation about, like, listen, I need you to not talk so loud at this gathering because it's really awkward and you're making people feel uncomfortable. And then they go home and they decide that the best thing to do is to talk about that online for everybody to comment on. You've had these situations where you've brought something up with your spouse and you're trying to find a solution, but you bring it up and they blow up and things just go haywire, and then they turn it on you and you don't talk to each other for a few days. You've had these situations where you were in a group setting, you thought it was a safe conversation, whether it was a dinner party or a small group or just gathering family, and you feel like you're in a safe place, so you have a conversation, you bring up a subject matter, and then you don't hear from them again, or they start getting really angry with you moving forward, and there's just, it gets really, really painful. You've had situations where you've asked somebody to pay for gas on a road trip and they just started getting distant from you. Other times you've hurt people with your words, and other times people have hurt you with your words, and there has been embarrassment. And those are typically the kinds of results that we get from conflict, isn't it? Is we have it, we avoid it, we whatever, and there's this distance. Community gets broken. And so we, many of us, have ended up with this idea that there are only two results, two pieces with conflict. You either save your relationship, save community, and avoid conflict, or you have the conflict and ruin community. And sometimes we're even like, even if I avoid this comment, the situation and the relationship is going to be bad, and so it doesn't matter if I have the conflict or not have the conflict. This issue is going to be bad, and so we should just avoid each other. Which is very much the culture that we're in today, that if a disagreement means that you hate each other and you can't have the conversation. If there's a disagreement, then it's somehow, whether you avoid the conversation or have the conversation, it's going to ruin community. The problem, though, is that when we look in the biblical text, there is a whole lot of conflict in here. So this idea that conflict is always bad and always something that should be avoided and that will always ruin community is false, because when we look at the text, we see lots of it. We see how in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, who wrote many of the letters that we have in the New Testament, he actually calls out the Apostle Peter. Paul wasn't even with Jesus while he was doing his ministry. Peter was. Peter was closest with Jesus. Way closer to Jesus than Paul was. But then when the church is being built and it's spreading and people are hearing about the gospel, hearing about Jesus, Peter ends up doing some stuff that is not right. And Paul actually has to go to Peter and say, Peter, stop doing that. And what we don't see is we don't see that after that, the church split into three different groups and they never talked, and that's when the First Baptist Church was made. Right? That's not what we see in the text. We see that there was that conversation, there was that conflict, and something got resolved. We see conflict between King David, who would be King David, and the then King Saul. And there was this back and forth where Saul continued to try to kill David, and David continued to just get out of the way and get out of the way. And eventually, David has to go and prove to Saul, hey, Saul, I have every opportunity to kill you, and I haven't, because I want to honor you as king. And Saul finally goes, you're right. Then he leaves David alone. We see Jesus having conflict with his disciples. His disciples are there, and they've got this conflict. They're arguing about who's the greatest. I'm the best. No, I'm the best. No, I can make that better. I can do this better. And Jesus is like, guys, stop. You're arguing about the wrong thing. But Jesus enters into the conflict, brings a new conflict to them, because they were on the wrong track. Jesus talks about how to approach conflict explicitly. He talks about sin. We see the situation in the Old Testament with Jacob and Esau in the book of Genesis, two brothers who didn't get along. They didn't get along, and it took 20 plus years for them to figure anything out, but eventually they came back together, and there was that forgiveness, and there's that bitterness that got removed, and there was that reunion that took place. We see this with Jacob's son, Joseph, where he is sold into slavery by his brothers, and after many years of separation, they come back together. They don't even recognize their brother Joseph, and Joseph chooses to forgive them, and they figure stuff out. We see conflict throughout the text, and we see that there is such thing as good conflict and bad conflict. In the book of Proverbs, It says in Proverbs 27, 17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. How many of you have ever sharpened a knife? How many of you know, have ever watched a movie and like they've got one of those stones spinning and they've got the knife, the sword going on this on the stone and there's sparks flying and they're like that noise? I don't know. Anybody aware of that? You've seen the sharpening. And some of you have done the sharpening, some of you are aware of the sharpening. Yeah, you can watch these shows where they're actually forging knives and forging weapons, and you see them go through the process of the sharpening. And the thing is, oftentimes when you're doing that kind of raw sharpening, there's sparks flying. And even when you're not doing it with that kind of raw intensity, even when you're doing the fine tuning, you hear that. Even if you're using water and a whetstone, you get that noise. You know what that noise is? Friction. That noise is friction. And friction is iron against iron. It is the rubbing and the breaking of things that are loose. It is taking off the pieces that don't belong there. It's about taking off the little tiny bits that are in the way. The things that make the edge dull. It's about taking off the excess. Iron against iron is that friction that gets rid of the stuff that shouldn't be there. And you know what? If you don't have something hard enough, you will not make the item sharp. If there's no conflict, there are no sharp knives. You're following with me? And so what we see is this. Biblically, this is what we see. We need good conflict to either get us on the right path or keep us on the right path. We need good conflict either to get us on the right path or keep us on the right path. So getting us on the right path is like that sharpening of a knife where something's dull, something's not the way it should be, it doesn't work right, and you need to get rid of that excess stuff through friction. But there's another kind of illustration that I want us to think about. Because sometimes we're okay with, okay, it takes a little bit of friction. Maybe that's about conflict. Maybe that's about trials. Maybe that's about learning how to work hard and get through hard things, maybe. But we also think, you know what? Conflict is kind of like playing chicken, where it's about two people looking at each other and hitting the gas on the car, and we're just going to go, and it's about who's going to back off first. But that's not what conflict is supposed to be. Conflict is not about avoiding a crash. Conflict is not about playing chicken. Conflict is more about being tugboats. Anybody familiar with Theodore? Theodore Tugboat? If you grew up in Canada and you've ever watched the CBC for some reason, you know who Theodore Tugboat is. Well, tugboats are designed to pull larger ships and to tug them and to ram them. That's the whole point. Is they push and pull these big ships to get them where they need to be. Without tugboats, you end up with massive shipping containers wedged into these canals that keep shipping from happening for several months during pandemics. You guys remember that a few years ago? It was that massive ship, and it turned the wrong way, and it got wedged right in the canal, and all of a sudden, we couldn't get our Skittles from Dollarama because they were stuck on the ship. You know how much weight I lost during that time? The tugboat is there because when the ship starts to go off course, it's able to pull and push to get it onto the right track. Conflict is necessary for sharp knives and to stay on track. And so we need good conflict to either get us on the right path or to keep us on the right path. Because sometimes you are on the right path and you start to go to the left or to the right. And this is true in all of our relationships. This is true in the church. This is true in our marriage. This is true with our coworkers. This is true with our businesses. This is true with our kids. Good conflict happens to either get us on the right path or keep us on the right path. Iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Ladies and gentlemen, we should not be a people who avoid conflict. And we should also not be a people who do damage through conflict. What it is we need to learn how to have good conflict. When you and your spouse talk about how things need to change in order for your marriage to get better, it's talking to someone in the church about habits that you've seen them living out that you know are going to lead to further and further harm in their lives. It's about saying to your kids, saying to your spouse, saying to your coworkers, saying to your employees, and saying, what do you see in my life that's causing problems? Inviting that feedback, inviting that conversation. It's about taking the risk and coming up to your pastor and saying, "Pastor, when you said this and this and this, that really hurt me." It's about sitting down with someone from your small group or your family and saying, can we talk about what you're doing in your life? Can we talk about that thing that you said the other day? And all of our guards get put up, and all of our feelings start to get tense, and we want to run, or we want to fight, or we want to downplay it. But when we learn how to have good conflict, then what actually happens is community gets strengthened because we become sharper and because we end up on the right path. We're sharpening knives and keeping boats on the right path. So what do you do? How do you do that? Well, first rule of good conflict is, it is not about who is right or wrong. It is about what is right or wrong. It is not about who is right or wrong. It is about what is right or wrong. The point of conflict is not to point out you're right, I'm wrong, I'm right, you're wrong. The point of conflict is, what is the right thing that we should be doing? What is the solution? And what is the wrong solution? It is not about whether you're valuable or not, or I'm valuable or not. It is about what is right. And so, the first thing we need to do when facing conflict is understand why it matters. If you go into a conflict and you have not bothered to stop and ask yourself, why does this matter? Then you need to pause, leave the conversation, and figure that out. You've got to have a good reason for conflict. It can't be I'm annoyed. It can't be that I'm tired. It can't be because I didn't get my Snickers. Like, have a good reason for it. And I don't mean have a good reason for it as in, like, if it's not worth it, don't bother with it. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is make sure you understand why it matters. The argument, the conflict, it matters, but you need to understand why. What is the purpose behind it? What is the point? What needs to happen? What needs to change? Secondly, speak the truth in love. It says that, Paul gives that clear direction in the book of Ephesians. Speak the truth in love. Truth and love. If you're not loving the person, don't bother speaking the truth. And if you think you love them, but you won't want to tell them the truth, then I'm going to question whether or not you really love them. Speak the truth, but also love them. Thirdly, check yourself first. Jesus talks about how it's very easy for us to go and look at other people and to cast judgment and say, hey, you got this wrong and this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. And he's like, no, stop. You got to check your own eyes first. You may be saying, hey, there's something in your eye, but you've got to check your own eyes first, because if there's something in your eye, you got to take that out. It's very hard to see other people clearly when you've got something in your eye. And he's not saying don't have that conversation with somebody. He's saying check yourself first. Know why you're having the conflict. Speak the truth with love. Check yourself first. And lastly, work on your skills. You know what the really, really necessary part of a tugboat is, other than the engine and it floating? You know what makes a tugboat really, really special? The rubber sides. The tugboats have been designed that they can bump up against other boats without doing damage. They're not there to sharpen the edges of the boats. They're there to move the boat. And this is where I have failed most often, is I have not bothered putting the time into developing the skills of having good conflict, of figuring out how do I push this person, how do I move this thing without causing dents, without breaking walls, without doing damage. How do I speak the truth, love them, but do it in a way that moves them without causing harm? And Paul talks about letting your words be seasoned with salt. Make your words taste good. Make your words something that people can handle. We need to put the time into figuring out how do we have conversations? How do we figure these things out together? And you need to work on that. Sometimes that's a matter of you developing your own skills of how do you bring things up? How do you have those conversations? But there's another side of when you have conversations with the same person on an ongoing basis, in particular, someone from your family, especially your marriage. The two of you need to have conversations about how you have conversations. The two of you need to learn how you work together and how you have good conflict. Because honestly, the way I fight with Heidi is going to be different than the way that I fight with Mark. Mainly, I don't give Mark a kiss afterwards. And we're all thankful for that, right? I mean, I'm assuming Mark's thankful for that, but I think we're all thankful for that. We fight different in different situations. And so there's a certain amount of skill that we have to develop ourselves to put those rubber sides on the tugboat, but there's also a matter of figuring out how we work together. Ask why the conflict matters. Speak the truth in love. Check yourself first and develop the skill. Now the worship team's coming up and they're going to do another two or three songs here with us. And I want you to consider how the different things that we've talked about this month affect you, affect your family, affect our church. The matter of gossip, the matter of this intergenerational thing, the matter of unforgiveness, and the matter of conflict. And we need to understand that there's lots of things that the enemy wants to use in our lives to separate us. But God wants us to come together. He wants us to live in community. And one of the biggest pieces of that is conflict. There needs to be good conflict because it's how we get sharp. It's conflict that either gets us on the right path or keeps us on the right path. And whether the Lord is saying to you, listen, you've got to have that hard conversation. You've got to reach out to that person. You've got to admit your failure. You've got to go ask for forgiveness. You've got to have a conversation with a family member and say, listen, can we figure out how to have these conversations? Or you've got to bring something up to someone that you're kind of scared of. Maybe there's something that you've got to talk to me about. You got to understand that we need good conflict. Because it gets us on the right path or keeps us on the right path.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.